6.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, thanks for being here this afternoon. A conversation with Sarah McGregor of Feeding Umpqua, part of the United Community Action Network. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
So, overall, how are things going for Feeding Umpqua this year?
Well, we've been really busy this year. All of the sort of people that had really been had their needs taken care of over the last couple of years with a lot of, you know, sort of the federal supports, as those are sort of disappearing, just more and more people are coming back to get food, and we are just staying really busy trying to get food out to all of the emergency food partners.
Do you feel like, are you seeing an increase then in people?
Yeah, so year to year, looking at last August to this last, or August of 2021 to August of this year, 60% increase. So there's just, you know, like I said, we're not quite at those pre-pandemic levels back up because there are still a lot of supports in place for people, but that's pretty staggering. And a lot of the pantries have been contacting me. They've been running out of food. They need to make bigger orders than usual. And, that's just been really, I mean, we all saw it coming, and also it happens in a moment where we have less food than we've had. So that was one of the other things that happened with the pandemic, was that there was a lot of supports for individuals, but there was also a lot of support for our food system, where they were really putting a lot of investment into making sure that the emergency food system really had a lot of food. So we had this moment where not a lot of people were really accessing food, but we had a lot of food, and now our food supply is dwindling and people are coming back.
And at the same time, even if you've got the funding there, just accessing the food sometimes is probably an issue.
Yeah, so certainly supply chain disruption has really affected emergency food. We're not seeing as much donations like from local grocery stores as we had in the past because they don't have excess. And same from like food manufacturers who donate to the Oregon Food Bank Network and to Feeding America, that there's just all the supply chain disruption and it's impacted us, you know, just all the way across. People can't get the food that they need at the grocery store, and we can't get the food that we need to provide the emergency food.
And for folks, think about your last trip to the store. I was in last night getting some things, and no matter which store you go to, just about every trip lately, something that I want isn't there.
Yeah. So that happens to us too. And so we'll get a lot of one thing, or we'll be like, okay, we're going to get some canned vegetables, and then we'll end up having really limited choices, and whatever we can get, we'll get. So there's been times in the last several months where we've had, you know, like 200 cases of green beans, and, you know, the Emergency Food Network might, you know, for no better term, like cash out on having green beans because they don't want any more green beans. They want something else. They want corn. They maybe want canned beets. They want canned spinach. And we're just not able to access all of those things all the time. And so, same thing happened with mac and cheese. So we didn't have any mac and cheese, and now we're starting to get it again, but at much higher cost.
Wow. So a lot of challenges there. Now, in the midst of all of this, for this year, have you been able to do any new programs or anything, or is it just sort of hanging on to things?
I feel like we're just sort of hanging on. We were able to bring back the Outpost Mobile Food Center and have that be fully operational, and been able to get back out to Days Creek and Camas Valley, Diamond Lake, and Elkton. So we've been really happy to be able to provide those services and that support to those communities. But otherwise, just sort of holding steady, trying to do more with less and with less people too. So we've been also subject to some of the same things that have happened across the nation around staffing, and we have a great team right now, but really we had to sort of compress and grow back.
Talk about the mobile food pantry, the Outpost. A few years ago that idea came along, and I'm just curious how well it's gone. I know the pandemic probably put a bit of a issue with it.
Right. So we started that project in partnership with the Mercy Foundation, and built this 20-foot, you know, a free grocery store. That's what it's like, a free grocery store in a trailer, and take it out. And I would say, you know, during the pandemic, we really had to sort of shift operations the way most emergency food places did and the way most businesses did, where we would let people have a shopping list when they arrived and they could tell us what they would be willing to have. And then we'd shop for them on the trailer and pack boxes for them and provide that. We went through a time, well, then we shifted back to letting people shop in very small groups of people on the trailer, and then had to take a break when we lost staff person in there. But now we seem to be fully operational, very enthusiastic and hopeful that that continues, because that's really the best, is when people can come on, have that full access, make choices that will leave them with dignity, and also that we know that they're going to eat and enjoy and take home. And that's the way we really like to operate that pantry.
And for those especially rural areas, if people are challenged in terms of their food supply, obviously the last thing they need is to put gas in the car and have to drive to Roseburg.
Absolutely. So the places that we take the outpost don't have emergency food pantries located in those communities. So people might have been accessing emergency food, but they were having to drive, like you said. And often that's like at least 10 miles. Sometimes, like when we go to Diamond Lake, we're going all the way out there. So that's like 60 plus miles to get into Roseburg to go to a full-scale grocery store.
So that seems like it's going really well in terms of being effective.
I think it is. We just were out at Diamond Lake last month, and I was able to go out with the trailer. So it was three staff from the food bank, and it was really wonderful to interact with the people there, just to be able to have them get on the trailer, get the things that they needed. And we've gotten some really, really positive feedback that people were just really thinking we had great choices and that it was great to interact with staff. And I think that's been the impression overall of the program. It was started really well. Our first staff person in that program, Teresa, she did such a wonderful job of making people feel welcome and making people really trust us. And so that's been really important to us to maintain that.
So having one trailer, is one enough for Douglas County?
It's really hard to say. Probably if it can be stocked all the time. It's a lot of work to sort of stock up this 20-foot trailer with food. We go out every week, but we only do two stops maximum per week. So there's an opportunity to do some more. We've actually been exploring some options to provide the mobile food pantry to some underserved communities, but not defining that by geographic location, but sort of trying to reach out and find out when there's migrant communities working here in agriculture, if there's places we can serve them, or trying to reach out to the Spanish-speaking community and find out if there's ways that we can help establish a pantry in areas where they live, or take the outpost.
Now, you mentioned the staffing challenges that just about everybody's had. How many staff do you have right now?
Right now, we have five. So four full-time and one part-time.
So that's a lot of work with a small group.
Yes. So we often have six people. So we're down one staff person presently. But it is a lot of work, you know, that most people, well, everybody at the food bank, including myself, all have to work in the warehouse at some point. There just is too much work moving food around, building orders, organizing things, doing all the inventory. It's just a lot, a credible lot of work. And but they're a great team and they really work hard and do great work.
And then talk about what you guys do in terms of dealing with all these other community food pantries.
Right. So we partner with now 15 emergency food pantries across the entire county. We provide all the USDA food for pantries in the community. So we're kind of the clearinghouse for all USDA commodities to come in. So that comes through like Feeding America, then Oregon Food Bank, and then to us. And so we build all those orders, get everything out, maintain all those relationships, have to do a bunch of compliance, unfortunately, but it's good for food safety. And then just try to help the kitchens as well. There's six congregate meal sites and shelters across the county that we're supporting. And then we're always evaluating, like, are there areas we're not supporting enough? Are there areas for growth? And so we've been kind of looking at that and have a couple of irons in the fire around trying to understand where we might grow the emergency food system in Douglas County.
All right, more when we come back with Sarah McGregor from Feeding Umpqua. We'll talk about a couple upcoming events they have and more. The interview of podcast after one at 541radio.com. 1246 Inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show at 4. On Inside Douglas County tomorrow afternoon, Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools. Sarah McGregor here from Feeding Umpqua. You were talking about your small staff just before the break. Are there volunteer opportunities, things that people could be doing that would help you guys out on a regular basis?
Absolutely. We've lost a lot of our volunteer pool over the last couple of years with the pandemic. We have positions for people to come in pretty much any time, Monday through Friday. They can do sorting of produce, boxing of food, doing food drives with us, doing some work in the office, helping stock the outpost, going out to communities with us. So there's really a lot of variety of things that people can be doing, whether they're more introverted and like to just stand in the warehouse and do their own thing, or if they want to get out and talk to people about what's going on in their lives and help them directly.
Well, and I know as we've been hearing on a lot of different fronts, that volunteer shortage is right up there with the supply shortage sometimes. And in fact, there's that Make a Difference Day coming up in just a couple of weeks, trying to get people re-engaged, because every organization I talk to, whether it's arts, things like what you do or education or whatever, everybody's got a shortage of volunteers.
Yeah, absolutely. And we all talked about that at our most recent partner agency meetings, just about how that was something everyone was experiencing, some people at the kitchen sites, people at the pantries. And so we've all been sort of like trying to, if someone comes to you and you can't use them, share them. So that's an idea that we've kind of had for a long time, but just sort of reinforcing that. So if we have someone who approaches us about volunteerism and it's not a good fit, trying to get their information to someone else.
Yeah, talk about your funding. First of all, how is Feeding Umpqua funded?
So we're funded in a lot of different ways. Obviously, we're funded through fundraising. That's why we do a fair amount of fundraising every year. We also get funding through the state. It's called the Oregon Hunger Response Fund. And that's money that we get to sort of essentially move and store food. We also get some funding from the federal government. We get USDA funds, a small amount to help manage all the food that we get from the USDA. Additionally, we get funding from another federal source, the Emergency Food and Shelter Program, to purchase food. And then we've also had some funding to purchase food directly this year from the state of Oregon.
Talk about this Empty Bowls event that you're bringing back.
So we're really excited. Next Monday, October 10th, we're going to have the 5th annual Empty Bowls Project Dinner. And we're really excited to bring it back. The last time we had an in-person like soup dinner was in 2019. And so as I'm starting to get everything together, I'm feeling a little nervous and anxious because not only have we not... not only is it an in-person thing, but I haven't even practiced in years. So, and how to do an in-person event. And last year, during the pandemic, we did a modified event. We did what we called a pickup party, and people could purchase like a gift basket, and the basket had like a soup mix we made and bread and a bottle of wine and a dessert and a gift certificate for soup at a local restaurant, and they could come and pick a bowl out of our collection. And that was a great modification. People really enjoyed that they could still see the bowls and come and participate in that way. And but really, we're excited to bring people back, to open up our warehouse again, to have soups from local restaurants, and to try to bring back that energy, because it was a really fun event.
So where do all these bowls come from?
So bowls are made by people throughout the community. The Umpqua Valley Arts Association is one of our sponsors this year, and they've sponsored for the Clay Place to produce at least 100 bowls with all of the just community members that sign up at the Clay Place. We also get bowls from local ceramic artists who drop them off. And the high school ceramics class, the advanced class, does bowls for us. And then people can paint bowls at Over the Hill Ceramics.
So. Well, it's a neat opportunity. I've been hearing a little bit about some of the process of the bowls getting made from some of the groups that you mentioned there. And it sounds like people have been getting into it. kind of explain what the overall concept of this was, because, I mean, you guys have been doing it for a while, but it's really a bigger national level.
Yeah, so Empty Bowls is an international concept, and it was started by some artists who wanted to give back and to help their communities. So by creating bowls and then having these events, people can reflect upon the fact that some people have empty bowls. And they do it in lots of different ways across the country, but the soup event seems like a signature event where people can try different kinds of soups and then have this bowl as a takeaway or leave it behind for the next year. And it's just a really nice way to sort of work with different sectors in the community, to engage with the arts community in a different way, and to be able to showcase some of their art, and then also to help people start think a little bit about people that are in need.
And looked like you have a lot of support, a lot of restaurants, probably a lot of different types of soup.
Yeah, there's going to be some great soups. We have some favorites that have been there every year, like Alexander's Greek Cuisine and Bangkok West. And so people will be excited to see that. We also got some newer participants, Midtown Grill from down in like the Tri-City area is coming up. They're going to do a clam chowder. The Umpqua Valley Farmers Market, Chris Van Dyke, is making a soup for us. So that's pretty cool. We're making a dessert soup this year. In the past,
dessert soup?
Yes. So in the past, Creative Catering used to make a dessert soup for the event. And we're making it this year. We just sampled a bunch of soups yesterday and settled on a chilled apricot lemon soup.
Ooh.
It's really good.
That sounds good. So how do people get tickets for this?
So you can purchase tickets in advance up until this Friday at youcanfillemptybowls.com. So that's U-C-A-N, you can. And after that, you can purchase tickets at the door. Tickets in advance are $25, and those at the door are $30.
And talk about the flow of the evening. It's 5:30 to 7:30.
5:30 to 7:30. It's very low key. Really, the only thing you have to do there is just get your bowl and enjoy as much soup as you want. So there's 12 different soups, and just visit with people. So you come in, you'll check in, and then we'll open the doors, the big garage doors, at 5:30, and people will line up, then get a bowl, try out soups. We'll have music playing by a band called Blue Meridian, and just sort of hang out, enjoy yourself. Also enjoy looking at some of the art that we're having a mural painted by Max Smoot, and people will be able to see that at the event as well. So we're excited about that.
And one more thing I wanted to hit on, you've got a free produce giveaway tomorrow morning.
Yes, we do. So we're just trying to layer work on top of work on top of work. We're also going out on the outpost tomorrow. We're doing a new program with DHS. I forgot when you asked me about programs. With DHS, we're doing a free produce giveaway. And we kind of decided to do this with them because in the summer, we end up having so much produce. And we hate for any of it to go bad. We give everything that goes bad to local hog farmers, so it still is food. But really would rather see it in the hands of people. And so we're bringing a bunch of produce out there. We'll be at the DHS office on Harvard at 10 a.m. and there until about noon. Or if we run out of food, then we'll leave.
And I know you're doing that again later in the month too, right?
Yeah, we're going to do it on the 6th and the 20th.
And is this food come in from some of your regular sources, or is this local? Or
it's a variety. So it'll be from grocery store donation, and it'll be from food we get from the Oregon Food Bank Network, and it comes from local farms. So we kind of mix it all up and just bring what we have, and people can just take what they reasonably think they'll eat. So we really don't tell people, like, you can't have more than that. Sometimes people ask us, can I have this whole box of...
Come back with that broccoli.
They'll be like, can I have this whole box of peaches? And then, like, literally, we'll walk onto the truck, look at all the peaches, and make a call, like, oh, okay, well, we have, like, 7 more boxes of peaches. Go ahead. If they think they're going to use it or can it or make food for their family, then we want them to have it.
All right, that's happening tomorrow, and Empty Bowls is Monday. Sarah McGregor, Feeding Umpqua, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.